read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
We've hippity-hoppitied off to a different land, and in this land, Amy and I are both very happy people.
Oh my.
We only had about a 42-second conversation, but this will brighten my day considerably. One of the highlights of the week is sitting down with our independent bookseller to discuss some great reads that they want to share with our roundtable listeners. Doubly so when it's Amy Lane of Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery here to convince you, and it won't be hard, that all these titles are winners. Amy, good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm well.
Wonderful. Good morning. Good to see you. Very nice to have you with us. So where would you like to begin?
I think I'm going to begin with really the headliner on the list, which is A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara.
Yes.
Yanagihara. Yes, thank you. So this is a book that I really only recently started reading, so I have not finished it. I will confess that up front. However, having said that...
By the way, speaking about us, you know, in the, like the happy club, this book is not...
No. However, it is a National Book Award finalist, which is important.
As it well it should be.
Indeed. And everything, it's like in the circle that I roam in, this is the book that everybody has read and is talking about.
Absolutely.
And is telling me that it's the must read of the year. And this actually dropped early in the year, like back, what, January, February, March, somewhere in the winter, cold winter months.
It was an early book.
Really uplifting. And I've been told by many people that this is an astonishing read. It's something where you will cry repeatedly. It will move you. It will pull you in. It will just take you on this journey. And it's not happy, but it is worthy.
When I was reading this book, I was thinking of Wally Lam. And Wally Lam, who is so often asked the question of how were you able to so convincingly write in a female voice, and in this case you have an incredibly talented woman writing in a male voice that is just wrenching.
Yeah. So again, I've only just begun.
Oh, okay.
But her writing is wonderful.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
No, she's amazing.
So I'm looking very forward to this little piece of life and heartbreak.
Yes, it's a journey, and it's but it's also very relatable.
Yeah.
And if anything, it's sort of inspiring in that, okay, we're not alone in this.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A Little Life. It's Hanya Yanagihara, and a beautiful book, and deserving of all the praise that it has received.
Excellent. I think next I'm going to move to a book that I only recently heard about. And again, this is one that I've only recently started, but everybody that I talked to about this, and I recently got back, got back from the New England Booksellers Association convention in Providence.
NEBA.
And
how was that?
It was lovely, as always. I like that one. And so this is the book called Trace, Memory, History, Race, and the American Landscape by Laurette Savoy. And she's a geologist. And she teaches at Mount Holyoke, and she is a beautiful writer, just beautiful. I always think of geology as that sort of boring science, pardon. She is eloquent and lovely, and she opens up and expands the world and her heritage and life and the human condition and tracing ourselves and how our... All right. Actually, I'm going to read this small piece of here in her preface because it's quite lovely. So she's out on a walk over a frozen lake, and she says, "Thoughts of time's passage always come to mind on such walks. Thoughts of how memory of any form becomes inscribed in the land. The hills surrounding this lake and my home are worn remains of long vanished mountains. Glacial debris from the last ice age produces a rock crop in my garden each spring. Stone walls that 2 centuries ago bordered fields and pastures now thread the dark hearts of forests. And I've long felt estranged from time and place, uncertain of where home lies. My skin, my eyes, my hair recall the blood of 3 continents as paths of ancestors, free and enslaved Africans, colonists from Europe, and peoples indigenous to this land converge in me. But I've known little of them or their paths to my present. Though I've tracked long bygone moments on this continent from rocks and fossils, those remnants of deep time, the traces of a more intimate lineal past, have seemed hidden or lost."
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And her everything that I've read so far in this, it's just, it's wonderfully eye-opening and enriching and thought-provoking. And so please pick up the book Trace by Laurette Savoy.
The book is Trace by Laurette Savoy. Next up.
Next up, let's continue on our nature theme and go to the lovely Mary Oliver and her poetry of...
Oh, we love her.
Yes, and her recent book is called Felicity. And this is more... this is her book of love poetry, as only Mary Oliver could do it. And so there are a couple of things in this that I would like to read to everybody today, this morning. One is... "Nothing too small not to be wondered about. The cricket doesn't wonder if there is a heaven, or if there is, if there's room for him. It's fall. Romance is over. Still, he sings. If he can, he enters a house through the tiniest crack under the door. Then the house grows colder. He sings slower and slower. Then nothing. This must mean something, I don't know what. But certainly it doesn't mean he hasn't been an excellent cricket all his life."
That's great.
I love that one. And then the other one that I really like is Not anyone who says, "I'm going to be careful and smart in matters of love," who says, "I'm going to choose slowly," but only those lovers who didn't choose at all, but were, as it were, chosen by something invisible and powerful and uncontrollable and beautiful and possibly even unsuitable. Only those know what I'm talking about in this talking about love. So there's her poetry.
She's so great.
She really is.
Mary Oliver's new collection is Felicity.
Yes.
Out from Penguin Press.
Okay, so next I'm going to turn to the world and realm of the entertainment and arts.
Okay.
I have two. One is less surprising than the other. I'm going to start with the less surprising one, which is John Lahr and his book Joyride. Have you read this?
I have.
I really, really like this. It's such an interesting, it's about show people and their shows is sort of the subtitle of this one. And it's a collection of a lot of his articles and reviews from The New Yorker about today's biggest names, I guess in Broadway mostly. So we've got some playwrights, we've got directors, there are plays that he talks about.
Yep.
And I have found this to be, as a performer myself, something very enriching and enlightening as to the process and the characters that we all surround ourselves with.
He is, first of all, a little cheap plug here, but he will be on our book show next week.
Woohoo!
So on the 27th at 3.
Great.
And on the 29th at 8:30, he'll be our guest. And let's not bury the lead. He's the son of Bert Lahr.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so cool.
It is.
And he talks about that. And really, that's kind of the lens that he looks in of growing up as sort of the son of a show person.
Right. Well, in the section on directors, his opening into that one was, I just never thought about directors as a modern contrivance. And it really is. And how he has this great thing about, you know, his father hated directors.
Yes.
Because he just didn't need them. Because there was this whole style of performing in which a director would really just muck it all up.
And this is a guy who came out of vaudeville.
I know, right?
So, right.
That's
I'm just going to do my thing, and you trust me, and it'll all be okay in the end. It's fascinating that the pieces that he described, it's the centennial of Arthur Miller. There's an amazing piece in here about Arthur Miller and Death of a Salesman.
Yes. And also, I mean, he talks to Tony Kushner and Sam Shepard, who I freaking adore. I do. I don't know what it is about that guy. That guy is like rock and roll to me. He's just,
yeah.
Love him. So, yeah, I mean, he talks to Neil LaBute, David Mamet, Sarah Ruhl, August Wilson. I mean, there's just so many great pieces in this. And if that's your bent, man, pick this book up. It's worthwhile and has a lot of great things to say about the arts.
Joyride by John Waugh, published by Norton.
Yes.
All right. And then the other show book.
Never in a million years would I ever have thought that this would cross my lips. I like Judd Apatow's new book.
Now, why would you never think that would cross?
I am
your
not
lips?
Really a fan of his.
Okay.
I don't really get him, I don't think.
All right.
He doesn't really speak to me in the same way he seems to speak to many others. But his book, Sick in the Head, is not really about him. It's about comedy, stand-up comedy in particular, but comedy in general. So the subtitle of this is Conversations About Life and Comedy. And so from the early 80s, from the time that he was a teenager and had a radio show in high school, he has been interviewing really well-known comics for his whole career. So it's a remarkable collection of interviews and people that he has met with, and so kind of what I've been doing is just sort of flipping through and reading the people that I'm interested in, like his interview with Jon Stewart and Louis C.K. and you know, some of these are a little more Amy Schumer. I mean, oh my gosh, yeah. So,
well, and not to interrupt you,
no,
but don't you think that is because I agree with you on some of the work that he has done,
yes,
of the films and so forth that he's responsible for. I can understand there's a detachment. However, the cultivator, being a cultivator of comedians, whether it be Lena Dunham, Amy Schumer, especially some wonderful women, is I think his work is really well done.
I would agree absolutely with that assessment. And again, what I like about this is there's some really interesting conversations, particularly with Harold Ramis and Albert Brooks, right? These, in my opinion, sort of heavyweights of a particular kind of writing and style and sensibility that, I never really thought about comedy in certain terms or their life experiences. And that kind of thing fascinates me in the sense that there's a process to all of this. It's not like it's not just improv. And even improv has a process and a backing underneath it, right? You need to have structure. And that's kind of the beauty of all art, right? It doesn't just spring forth. For the most part, there's dedication and commitment and trial and error and learning about that as, through what other people do and how they manage to make their and create their art and speak their words. And it is. These are all writers. They're all writers when you think about it. And it's just a different sort of style of writing than Mary Oliver or anybody else that we've been talking about. But it's still legitimate and valid and fresh and interesting and educational and entertaining.
It's Sick in the Head by Judd Apatow, and it's a bestseller, and it's a lovely book.
It really
is. And as you say, you can dip in, dip out, all that kind of
thing. Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of it, too.
Now, we're just about out of time.
Okay.
So we have probably time for you to mention a book.
Okay. Philippe Halsman's Jump Book. This is a reissue of a book from 1959 where this photographer went around and photographed people, celebrities of that time, jumping. Yeah, and it's remarkably fun. It's delightful, and it's really at times. Okay, so there's this one beautiful picture that I keep talking about between Richard Nixon and there's Adlai Stevenson. Look at Nixon. And that sort of martyred Jesus pose of his jump.
Wow.
It's kind of remarkable how psychologically expressive one's jump can be.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare it to Stevenson, who seems like he's actually jubilant.
Yes. Yes. So this is a delightfully obscure little book that I think everybody should take a look at and put on their coffee table. It's entertaining as all get out and really insightful.
Okay, and you said that was a reissue?
Yeah, it first was published in 1959.
When jumping was all the rage.
Well, yeah. Duh. I think that's something lacking in our current culture. We don't jump enough, and we certainly don't photograph people doing it.
Now that we care about jumping. All right. So we've that's great.
I mean, there's Marilyn Monroe and Audrey Hepburn, and it's...
It's the jump book.
The jump book.
All right. Now, so we have a little time.
Okay.
Because we went over, so that we bought ourselves a little time. So.
Jack Gantos. Is a children's book author, and he wrote this book called The Trouble in Me. He went to prison when he was very young for drug trafficking. He spent 6 years there, and he wrote a book, I think it's The Hole in My Life is what it was called.
Yep.
And this is sort of the precursor to that. So he's 14. He meets this guy who just got out of juvie. They live next door. His family just moved.
This is where he's actually creating the hole in his life.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he can't figure himself out, and he doesn't know who he wants to be, and so he decides to emulate this little juvenile delinquent. Idiot. And so, but he tells this with like a really great adult perspective he doesn't really censor himself or I don't know. It's just a delightful kind of fun. He's funny. I don't know how he makes all of this so funny, but he does. And it's a wonderful, wonderful read. So please take a look at Jack Gantos. He is a well-deserved author.
And he's telling the story to other kids, and it isn't his.
It is
his story. It's a first.
It's an autobiographical novelization of his life. So some names and things have been changed and all of that.
But it's about a kid named Jack Gantos.
It is.
Okay.
Thank you, John Franzen. So, yeah.
So it's The Trouble in Me. The book is, the picture of the book where the title is, it's on a gas can that just looks like it's, ready to ignite and blow up.
It pretty much is. I mean, fire is a really symbolic piece of this entire little, their lives. The opening starts with him running with this can of charcoal lighter fluid.
Now, I'm going to ask you if there's anything fun and exciting happening at the bookstore. In the meantime, I just want to look at the jump book real quick and see if
book.
There's anything.
There's always fun and exciting things happening at the bookstore. Joe, geez, just come down and visit us, people. We're on J Street in Schenectady. You can visit our website at www.opendoor-bookstore.com.
Well, there's even text when it comes to the jumps.
There is, and he does talk about the psychology of the way and analyzing how people jump, and that form of expression. I like that it's a physical form of expression.
Now, in the cases in this book, are these staged in the sense of we're going to take a picture of you jumping?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knew that was the whole thing going
Mike
in.
Oh, there's Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
And Walter Kerr.
There's some... He has this little bit in there about the... he goes over to Britain, and there's a bunch of people who it's like they're too stuffy to jump for him. Except this one guy that he meets, and they do this photo shoot, and then he's packing all his stuff up, and he's ready to go, and I can't remember who it was, a duke or an earl, and he says, didn't you want to photograph me jumping? So it's really delightful, and so he unpacked all of his gear and was like, yes, let's do this, and so he did, and it's funny because it's a very British sort of jump if you're thinking about the British as being stuffy,
yes,
right? It's
a little more
contained.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's not very high off the ground. Nobody's bending their legs and throwing an arm in the air. But it's my kind of book. Of course, it's my kind of book.
I think I would pay $30 to see Mark Chagall jump.
Right? Salvador Dali. Did you see the Dali in there? That where they're throwing three cats and there's water. It took 27 tries. It's
not really
kind of
excited
like
about them throwing cats.
No, but it's a seminal piece. I mean, if you look at that, you would recognize that we all know that Dali. Photograph.
Yeah, yeah, it's been around. And
it has since 1959. Yes, Steinbeck
is in
there.
Here. And and then Ray Bolger also, who just looks like he should be jumping always. All right, we're desperately out of time.
Sorry.
Amy, thank you very. No, it's not your fault. It's all mine. WAMC.org/roundtable. Visit them on J Street in Schenectady. Amy, you're a delight, a pleasure. Thank you so much
Likewise.
For being with us.
Thanks
you're
for
listening
having
to the roundtable on WAMC.